And we're live with another episode of the Trilzarian Show. Today, we're here with the local chiropractor, Jeff Hijazi, also one of my training partners, a blue belt under Seth Norman. Jeff takes great care of me. I come see him at least a couple times a week, and he keeps me in top shape, able to compete at the highest level. So without further ado, here is Jeff Hijazi.
Thank you, and it's an honor being on your podcast, Troy. This is awesome.
So good to have you.
Yeah.
Let's start with a little bit of a background on Jeff. How did you grow up? Where did you grow up? What were some of the things that influenced you?
Yeah, I grew up in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Pretty much grew up there. My parents split at a young age, so I was had the experience to be able to go spend summers in California with my dad. So I really was a pretty lucky kid in the in the regards that I got to live in like small town America and go to school and get that upbringing, but then also get exposed to Southern California's greatness.
Right. Yeah,
and so that exposed me to a lot of things. But that kind of grew up there. I ended up going to undergraduate college there in Tahlequah at Northeastern State University, and then went to chiropractic college in St. Louis. And after chiropractic school, got a job here, and knew I wanted to be back in Oklahoma. That's where all my essentially where all my family and friends were. So looked to come back to Oklahoma. Got a job in Edmond. Worked for a guy for a few years, and then bought his practice and. Here we are today. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. So how many, that was like a lot of years of school, I would imagine.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize this about chiropractors. Chiropractors can often, you know, of course, get the, we're not real doctors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But chiropractors, believe it or not, get tons of schooling. I had total from undergraduate all the way to graduating chiropractic school. I spent a total of 8 years in college, going through college. But for the chiropractic program, it's they say it's a 5-year program condensed into 3 1/3 years because you go year round. And so, it takes 10 trimesters to complete that whole program, and you basically go year round nonstop. So fall, spring, summer for 3 1/3 years, and and that's on top, and that's not including what it takes to get into chiropractic school. You have to have all the prerequisites any medical doctor or DO would have, or dentist or whatever kind of other physician that goes to medical school, or you know, that kind of medical specialty school. You have to have all those prereqs to get in. It's just one thing is you know, chiropractic school is definitely easier to get into versus medical school, but it's still tough. I mean, you still have to have those classes and coursework. So anyways, lots of school. It is a lot of school. It's actually kind of a running joke in chiropractic school that they tell you that they teach you to be a really bad medical doctor because you get so much exposure to like diagnosing and medical stuff, basically.
So any of these haters like Joe Rogan that are saying the chiropractor is not legit. We're going to go there.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're wrong. Basically, yeah, just don't listen to Joe Rogan. He doesn't know what he's talking about on that front. He's a knowledgeable dude, but he just got a bad experience, probably, is all it is. If he had met Jeff, then he would love chiropractic.
I feel that way, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
The one thing about Joe is I love Joe Rogan, and I listen to his podcast pretty regularly, even after having to go through that gut punch of those podcasts of him just completely tearing apart chiropractic. But with the interesting thing about Joe's podcast is, in all fairness, it did bring up some truth behind the profession and some of the BS that there is in the profession.
Sure.
Just like in any profession, there's always going to be, you know, good and bad, so to speak, and guys that get way out there and that kind of thing. And there are. I mean, there are chiropractors that take it too far. They can get too philosophical with their some of their, you know, theories and that kind of thing on what they can do for people. Like, for instance, and this is an interesting point. I probably should have brought this up at earlier in the conversation, but I'm actually legally blind. You guys know this, but for some of our audience, they might not know this.
Yeah.
You know, in chiropractic school, I was told at different times by different people that my vision can be cured with chiropractic. And now, so we laugh and joke, and it's crazy. And I will tell you this, there has been, and there's like a YouTube video of a guy that lost his vision in one eye, and it was like unexplainable. He went to this chiropractor, adjusted his upper neck, and then shortly after was able to get some vision back.
Wow.
So that's a miracle story, and there's thousands of miracle stories in chiropractic like that, that they're almost unexplainable. But not in every single situation. Yeah. Obviously, my situation is not that way.
Yeah.
Once you know a disease process, mine is a genetic problem, and it's just absolutely erroneous type statements that, mm-hmm. you know, by telling me my vision could be cured. And that's when I started to pick up on hints of, oh, this is what the public's talking about when people say chiropractors are wacky. You right. know, like, yeah. what is this guy thinking? I've been getting my neck adjusted, you know, thousands of times. How come my vision's not corrected yet?
Exactly.
You know, like, what is going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
With all fairness, but going back to the good side of things, I mean, chiropractic is a wonderful tool.
Mm-hmm.
It is a great therapeutic modality, one of the best out there when it comes to manual medicine, in my biased opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a limit to what it can do.
Sure.
But there's no doubt about it for you know, a lot of chiropractors, this is like nails on the chalkboard, but for back pain, neck pain, and headaches, I mean, that's chiropractic's bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do know that chiropractic, by adjusting your spine, good spine health keeps your breathing good, keeps your digestion good, and those kinds of things, helps your immune system, that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. that just goes for good spinal health. That's exercise. That's,
yeah.
you know, that's all these other things, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
That's probably... I don't know, maybe ask some more questions there, but that's kind of my two cents on the chiropractic and Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I just thought we would bring that up, a little bit of a touchy subject for a chiropractor. So,
yes.
And we had talked about that, you know, before, and I just thought it was interesting to hear your opinion on that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Well, let me just share with the public in general that, you know, there's a lot of evidence and research that does support chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
And if chiropractic was complete bullshit, then... no insurance would pay for it. You know, I wouldn't be a credentialed, you know, person out there to the public as a primary care. So chiropractors are technically primary care doctors. Like, anybody can come into my office with anything, and I've got to recognize it and take care of that person.
Yeah.
Someone could be coming in with a heart attack, and I've got to, of course, I'm not going to treat their heart attack, but I've got to, you know to get them to the ER, you know, mm-hmm. or to the heart hospital or whatever.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. It's just... one of those things where, I don't know, chiropractic is just, it's one of those tough things where it gets a lot of criticism, there's a lot of evidence behind it, we wouldn't be here
yeah.
if it was complete.
Well, with any business, there's good and bad, you know,
yeah.
even in my line of work, there's a lot of fake black belts out there, you know, and
right.
unfortunately, we don't get to take chiropractors out on the mat and expose them the same way. But you know, with the jiu-jitsu black belts that haven't earned their rank, you know, it shows whenever they're getting tapped by blue and purple belts. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's some ways that we find out, like through Joe Rogan. If he had a bad experience, then whoever gave him that bad experience was called out, you know,
yeah.
for several podcasts.
Well, with that bad experience, it kind of spurred another thought I'll bring up, and that's something that, with going back to Joe's, you know, criticism and breakdown of it is, mm-hmm. you know, I know he's talked about some other friends having bad experiences going mm-hmm. to chiropractors and stuff, and even his experience, he said, I think, if I can remember correctly from one of his podcast about his experience, he talked about the chiropractor would just push on my head and say that since I didn't have pain radiating into my arm, that I didn't have a bulging disc, but he had a bulging disc and it mm-hmm. never got better. He kept going
yeah.
to the chiropractor over and over and over again. The bottom line is, and this is one, in my opinion, a bit against my profession that we're not as good at, and that's truly diagnosing people's problems.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is if Joe kept going to this chiropractor for weeks and months, and Joe would get a little better, but then get a little worse, or it'd flare up, or whatever, he needed to have an MRI,
mm-hmm.
No matter what, if he
yeah.
wasn't necessarily responding to care. And so that's all part into the diagnostic process of really taking care of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of chiropractors get guilty of wanting to be a healer or a technician and want to just
yeah.
adjust and treat people and not be a doctor and try to diagnose the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's mm-hmm. another reason why people have bad experiences in chiropractic as
sure,
well.
Sure, sure. Yeah, if you guys come to Jeff... you won't have those bad experiences. He knows what he's doing. I've always had good experiences. He takes really good care of me and my family. So thank you for being one of the legit black belts in chiropractic.
Thank you, sir. I try.
So you've owned your own business now for several years.
Yeah.
What are some of the progressions that you've gone through? Maybe some of the different struggles? Because I look to open my own business here in a few years. And I'm just kind of curious to get some of your insight on how that's gone, maybe some of the difficult things about owning your own business, and maybe some of the upsides. So You know,
yeah, that's man. That those are good questions, loaded questions. I would say the first thing that comes to my mind when it comes to struggles is when you're a business owner, you wear many hats. Mm-hmm. You're not only for me, my specific situation. Not only am I just a chiropractor, I'm the HR guy. I'm the business manager. Yeah. I'm the boss, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I'm doing all these different things.
Yeah.
I'm not good at it, but I'm having to be the IT guy, so that means maybe calling someone else to do something, you know, delegating, that kind of, but you wear many hats, and that's difficult, you know. Mm-hmm. One thing that other doctors get, like your mainstream, you know, medical doctors that are in hospitals, they can just be employees, you know, they can just go in a hospital and focus on patients solely, mm-hmm. and you know, that's something that I can't do. I mean, that's probably one of the toughest things, I would say.
Sure.
Being a business owner, there's always going to be struggles. There's always going to be hurdles or obstacles, so to speak, that pop up. And there's all different kinds. I would say that one of the biggest ones that just jumps out at me is just wearing many hats. It's tough. It's a tough thing to do.
Absolutely.
You know, especially when, you know, for a small business owner, to build on all that is, you know, when you have a couple of employees, you know, you live life with these people. So in some ways you create relationships and friendships, but then at the same time you're their boss.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can get weird and it can get tough. And so there's just a lot of those types of dynamics as well.
Absolutely.
What
are some of the upsides of running
upsides? Oh yeah. Upsides is real. I mean, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you don't have to answer to anybody really. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for me, of course, you know, I got to answer to, you know, the standards of, like, the chiropractic board and all these other...
And Cassie.
Yeah, oh, it's Cassie, yeah.
That's why for you guys, they don't know.
That was just...
That's long before the business, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's just, like, that's
exactly.
Already a given, you know.
Yeah.
but, yeah, no, really, essentially, I mean, yeah, being your own boss, having that freedom...
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for instance, like one of the coolest things, it's a small thing for me, but like when I was working for the guy that I bought his practice, mm-hmm. it was like required that I had to wear a tie and a button up shirt every day to work. And so, and I'm a chiropractor, I'm like, it's like manual labor,
yeah,
that I'm doing,
exactly.
on people all day.
With a tie.
With a tie. And so basically, like the first thing, as soon as I was able to buy my own practice, it was like, mm-hmm. I just ditched the tie. I still have like 50 ties sitting in my closet that I haven't worn in like 5 years.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Maybe for a, you know, wedding or something, but that's about it.
Dr. Edwards is missing out because you're a snazzy dresser, dude.
I...
You know, he's always got the nice button-up shirt, slacks, always looking good. So
trying to keep
maybe
it fresh.
He was messing up, making you wear the tie. I don't think that's Jeff's style. So moving on to your jiu-jitsu career. And really, like, I think it's so interesting that you're able to do all of these things while you're visually impaired, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably adds a whole nother level of, like, challenges and difficult things that maybe you have to go through that the average business owner, chiropractor, husband, jiu-jitsu practitioner doesn't have to deal with. So maybe even before we get to jiu-jitsu, I'm curious about some of the different ways that, like, in your daily life, maybe being visually impaired is different from the average person.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'll maybe share with the listeners just what I have specifically and deal with, and then kind of just go from there. But what I have is what I've been diagnosed with is something called Stargardt's.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a juvenile form of macular degeneration.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have heard of macular degeneration. Stargardt's is very rare.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying earlier, it's a genetic thing, so I was born with it. And what it affects is my central vision. So I have vision.
Mm-hmm.
The best way I can explain it to just the layperson is that my long distance vision and my detailed vision is just very poor. So I have like full peripheral vision, and if I get things close enough, like really, really close, like looks like I'm sniffing the paper or picture or my phone or something. You know, like I get it, it's weirdly close.
Uh-huh.
But as long as I get it close enough, I can see it. Or if it's enlarged and I have like visual aids that can zoom in and blow it up. So basically, that's kind of what I deal with. So I have vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's just technically I'm legally blind, and that's
mm-hmm.
even with correction. So I wear glasses and I have contacts and glasses for nearsightedness and stigmatism,
mm-hmm.
which is a very common thing people have correction for. But
mm-hmm.
what really bothers me, there's no there's no correction. And so I can't drive. It's been probably one of the biggest things that always usually hits at home with people to let it kind of know how serious it is. Because when people see me, at first they don't
really have no idea.
Because I can look at you in your eyes or at your face where I know your eyeballs are. can't really see what color of eyes you have. And that kind of stuff. But remember, like I said, it's like the detail. But I just have a hard time seeing that detailed vision. So driving is usually the part that really hits it home with people. Like, oh wow, it's it is pretty bad, huh? And so, what was your question again? Because you said
Being visually impaired might have different challenges for you than the average person.
Gotcha.
Things like that. Like you're talking about, not being able to drive.
Not being able to drive is the biggest.
Make out details in like a person's face and things like that. So
one thing that's always been tough, and it was really tough for me as a young kid, young man and an adolescent, was this is a really tough thing. This bothered me more than being able to drive. It was being able to walk into a room or walk into anywhere, a public place, and be able to see who your friends were and see kind of like I can see masses of people. So like for instance, like when I walk into the gym, especially when everybody's wearing like pretty much the same gi,
look the same.
I can't really, I'm trying to like make out like body shapes and listen for their voice and stuff like that. But being able to like see faces. So like I am a people person. I love people and being able to just, walk past somebody at the store that's my friend or buddy or just even an acquaintance and not be able to say, oh, hey, Joe, or whatever, you know, like that kind of stuff bothered me and still kind of does, but I get over it, you know. The one good thing about my vision that I can say that I feel like helped me be able to keep a positive mindset about things and stay optimistic is that I was born with this. So it's kind of like the ignorance is bliss. Like I don't really
know anything different.
So I don't have that psychology of having good vision, being able to drive, having those things, and then having it ripped away.
You know? I think that makes you more of a rock star that you're able to do all the things that you do and not be able to see well. Like you're able to strangle people on a regular basis. Then you're able to adjust them after you've strangled them.
Yeah, so, that's right. That's right.
He'll kick my ass one day, and then the next day I'll have to come see him. And he's got a pretty good business
side. Yeah, that's right. It's a good business model.
Just kidding. He's not intentionally hurting anyone to make them come in. That is a joke.
And maybe this could be a good segue into, in all seriousness, into my jiu-jitsu career. I feel like in some ways it's like it's not affected me in a bad way, but I think one way that me being a chiropractor affects my jiu-jitsu game is that I've almost been more reluctant to be like super aggressive, especially to my training partners, because I know the consequence of injury, and I don't want to. You know, because when you're talking about joint manipulation, not necessarily choking, let's set that aside, but for joint manipulation, if you crank too hard and you really overstretch or injure a ligament, that could be a permanent problem. So, going from, the chiropractic and vision and then segueing into jiu-jitsu, it's, you know, with my game, I love jiu-jitsu so much. It's my major source it's my major outlet for exercise. But I've found that, my game has grown so much over the good 4 years I've been doing jiu-jitsu now. But I found myself being, reluctance just stuck in my head. What is the better word?
I'm more
apprehensive to try to really go for attacks sometimes. And that's a big part of my game. That's where I'm at right now. And we talked about that in class at times, is where I've been really trying to work more for being on the offensive versus the defensive.
And me and Jeff have been able to work together doing private lessons for several years now. And I've seen huge improvements. And I'm always so impressed that someone like Jeff, that's not really able to see fine details and things like that, he still picks up so quickly on jiu-jitsu, which I think is a testament to jiu-jitsu. It really is for anyone. As long as you're willing to put forth the effort and be consistent, you can grow in jiu-jitsu, you know?
No doubt.
So it's very cool to see Jeff's progression. And I'd like to take just a little bit of credit for that.
Yeah, you do get credit, brother.
Yeah, I give myself a little pat on the back. Obviously, most of the credit goes to our professor, Seth Norman.
Yeah,
but I'm going to take just a little bit of that credit because I work with him every Saturday at 11.
That's
and we're working all kinds of cool stuff like DLRX. So plug my private lessons real quick if you guys need any.
Absolutely. And absolutely. No, just to build on that, Troy is the man. He's great at explaining, and he's the real deal. He walks the walk, so he knows what he's talking about.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. So, yeah, I'm sure there has to be, like, a certain level of mindfulness in everything that you're doing. Do you have a specific meditation or mindfulness practice in your day or anything like that that's going on? Because I see that a lot of the successful people, and I consider you very successful. You're someone that I look up to as a role model. I see a lot of the successful people that I interact with that have some form of a mindfulness practice, even if they don't realize it. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, maybe what does your day look like, and is there a mindfulness practice in that day?
That's a good question, and I'm such a podcast nerd. I kind of knew this question was coming because I've listened to the other podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a tough question for me because I don't specifically meditate, even though I'm like a big fan of it, because mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of benefits to it.
Sure.
But my best answer for you is really being in the moment. So two things: being in the mm-hmm. moment, trying to do your best. I know it's easier said than done,
sure.
But then also just I'm a very much, and my wife will tell you this, a routine person.
Mm-hmm.
Having that routine is huge to build up consistency in your life and whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
Whether if it's jujitsu or it's schooling, going to school or your career or you know whatever that is. Like having that routine is so huge, and then also staying in the moment. That's and it's that like I said, that's easier said than done. All of us
yeah.
at times can be scared about the future, worry about the past, like
sure.
all those things, and
it's
so easy to do that, and you completely, you know, you miss out on what's in the moment, and so trying to stay in the moment is something that I feel like helps me be mindful of where I'm at, where my surroundings are, and just
100%.
Helping people and mm-hmm. who's right there and being able to affect
in
those
that present
you know, control
moment.
What you can control,
absolutely.
You know, right there in
absolutely.
The moment.
Absolutely, I think that's a huge thing, and you said that. You had heard my other podcast, and there's a reason that I always ask about this. I
yeah.
believe that life is lived in that present moment, and the more that we're able to experience life, the more enjoyment we'll have from our day-to-day being, you know, enjoying our time on the earth. And I think that the more that we're present and enjoying time with others, you know, the happier of a person that we're going to be. So I think that that's a huge thing, and I think that a way of developing that is a mindfulness practice. Or, you know, I think that you probably experience some form of meditation whenever you're doing jiu-jitsu, whenever
That's
you're
a great
adjusting,
point.
You probably find those moments of flow and things
yeah.
like that. So I think that you probably do have a mindfulness practice, even if it's not, you know, closing your eyes for 10, 20 minutes of the day. I don't think it has
right.
to be that.
Yeah.
I think that it's important, like you said, to focus on the time at hand, enjoy
right.
the people that you're around and what you're doing. So.
Right. Well, you said something that really brought up an interesting thought. Like you said, with jujitsu, I never even thought about it like
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
But it took me to something that I always, a saying that I always loved, Seth's saying,
mm-hmm.
and that is, you know, right as we go to roll, and I can't remember exactly how he says it because
uh-huh.
Seth is just one of a kind person.
Yeah.
But basically, we're about to go take a rocket ship voyage for an hour here
exactly.
and then come back down. You know,
right,
like
yeah.
it's one of those things where it's like you completely check out when you mm-hmm. go into those hardcore rolling sessions at OMA.
Yeah.
It you don't think about anything. You're not mm-hmm. thinking about anything except the opponent trying to choke you
exactly.
at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that I think that is very much staying in the moment in that mindfulness mm-hmm. we're talking about.
Definitely. I completely agree. You know, it really is like that. We're taking a rocket ship up and we don't come back for another
yeah.
hour because all you're thinking about is the movement at hand, being
yep.
in that present moment with the person that you're drilling with, rolling with, whatever. You're focused on just the movement that you're in that current moment. So I think that's a huge thing. I think a lot of people are being mindful and practicing some form of meditation, whether they realize it or not. So I'm glad that we were able to have a little insight about that, you know,
yeah.
get that thought in your head.
Yeah.
I am having a mindfulness practice while I'm doing jiu-jitsu, even if I hadn't thought about it that
right.
way before. So, You said that you're like a very routine person.
Yeah.
I'm curious what that routine looks like. What is like maybe starting with the first 60 to 90 minutes of your day and maybe go from there?
Yeah. Wake up about 6:30, 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Wake up, get ready, get some breakfast, get the kids going, get them breakfast. I'm the vitamin Nazi in the house, is what I call myself, because my family is like, it's like pulling teeth in some of them. But make sure we do our supplements, and then head to work. I review, get to work, and I really just review my day, review my schedule, look over reports, and, you know, just doctor stuff. And that's really about it. Yeah. It's really about it. It kind of sounds boring, right? Like it was really.
Well, you forgot to mention that you go in and choke people afterwards. Usually, yes. And do well, like that, an hour
that's, of jiu-jitsu. That's just the, that's, so. That's like the first hour to hour and a half of my day.
Yeah,
I was just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, then I to carry on my day. So I get to the office before patients. I review stuff, review my day, take care of patients throughout the day. A couple days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays specifically, I head straight from here to the office and go straight, you know, pack my bag, I have everything ready, and I go straight to the gym and get right on those mats and start training.
Nice.
And so that's a big part of, so to hit up my week, you know, Monday through Thursday, I'm putting in a lot of hours in the office with patients. I do have some downtimes throughout those days to get things done with reports and that kind of thing. But in the evening times, I'm training jiu-jitsu or home with the family. Saturdays, it's a big day where I'm up at the gym training. One thing that that I haven't been able to do is just because, you know, I don't want to make excuses. Nobody wants to make excuses, but just fitting the time of the day is to try to, you know, one thing that I don't have that I want to get in is trying to add in a little, nothing much. You know, I'm not wanting to get become Hulk or Arnold from back in the day, but just to add some resistance training because I know it'd help my game.
Sure.
And just my overall just health, you know, but something that I haven't been able to fit in. But anyways, but that's pretty much about it. So I put in a lot of hours, I mean, with trying to just run this business. I mean, as you can imagine, running a business, I mean, it takes a lot of energy and effort. And then after that, between that and then kids and family, I make sure I get that jiu-jitsu in. I'd rather get the jiu-jitsu in over weight training. I feel there's more of a value to
it. Takes priority. Because the weight training is really supplemental for your jiu-jitsu game to help improve the jiu-jitsu game. So it wouldn't make sense to train strength over jiu-jitsu.
Right.
But that being said, if you ever wanted to work on some strength and conditioning training, I'm working on getting some programs together for that. Also, anybody else out there listening that would like some help with like nutrition or strength and conditioning regimen, hit me up. I do strength and conditioning plans as well as meal plans and stuff like that. So that's another way that you can see what Troy Trilzerian is up to, and I can help you guys out and bring value to your day. So two things that you mentioned in your routine that I was interested in, the supplements that you take as the, or that you make you and your family take as the vitamin Nazi self-proclaimed, right? I'm curious what some of those supplements are. What do you think is important to supplement that you're not, that most people may not get in their diet or something like
that? Yeah,
that's
exactly right. And that's what supplement is. It's you're supplementing what you don't get through your normal whole food nutrition, and any good nutritionist or dietitian or anybody that's in this realm of or in this business model should tell you first, you should get as much of your, you know, vitamins, minerals, you know, nutrients through your whole foods as much as possible.
100%.
You know, that's first and foremost. But of course, we have to supplement, and really, where the science shows, at least the science that I've been exposed to and have read, are three things. One is an omega-3 fatty acid. That is a fancy word for saying fish oil. So we supplement with fish oil. We also supplement with probiotics. So we do a capsule. We do the capsule, but we also do try to put, you know, culture type foods in our diet with the kombuchas and the yogurts those kinds of things.
Big fan of kombucha.
Yeah, I love kombucha. So yeah, all that stuff is essential for that gut health. That's so important. So important. I can't express that. But and then the third thing is vitamin D3. So vitamin D is is a big supplement that when you really look at the studies, most people are extremely deficient in. And you know, we know now how important it is with the immune function and immune system. So
make sure you get the D.
That's right. That's
that's another one of my side jobs, so you can hit me up for the D. Julian's losing it now.
That is awesome.
I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry, guys.
Make sure you get your daily D.
That was classic. All right. Sorry. I'm like 10 years old at heart. But,
it never stops.
I'm
34
stops,
now, and that kind of humor never stops.
Exactly. Everybody in the office is giggling too, though, so I think it was a good joke.
Yeah.
The second thing that you mentioned in your routine is really just like the amount of stuff that you're getting done in the day. Very impressive. Like, you're waking up, getting all the stuff done, taking care of the kids, taking care of a full business, training jiu-jitsu, sometimes lifting weights. What motivates you to get all of that done throughout your day?
Man, that's a good question. I would say I have it in the mindset there's no other way. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably my best answer for you on that.
Sure.
I just know that in my mind, you know, I try to set things up on Sunday mentally in my mind, and then I try to prep as much as possible for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know, okay, I've got to get this stuff done in throughout the week, and you just got to squeeze it in and make it happen.
Absolutely.
And there's times, and I mean, I'm human. I mean, there's gonna be times where we don't get certain things in, and you know, your kid does horrible on a spelling test because you forgot Tuesday and Wednesday night to do spelling words with them or something like that.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Oh crap, you know, but that kind of stuff. But I would say just ultimately, man, just setting your mind to something and just doing it. I know it's really easier said than done, but that's kind of, I guess, my best answer for you.
I think that's a good source of motivation. Yeah, exactly. A lot of people that I've talked to have really just motivated themselves because they've told themselves, There's no other choice here.
Yeah.
You know, it's either I get these things done or I'm not successful, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a huge thing. It's a very powerful mindset to tell yourself, really, this is the only option that you have.
Yeah.
So, that's good insight into how you get all of that done. I've always been curious about how you're able to run the business, you know, maintain a happy, healthy family, and then still continue to get better and better at jiu-jitsu, because it's getting harder and harder to kick your ass.
Nice.
You know.
Well, this is just a motivating factor, but when you have three little precious eyeballs, sets of eyeballs looking at you.
Nice, she won it. Awesome. And all three of the kids train jiu-jitsu as well, so that's pretty awesome. I get to work
and
with them
wife.
In kids' class
and
all
the
time.
Wife,
and the
and
wife,
wife,
the whole
and
family
the wife.
Does jiu-jitsu, so that's a major win in of itself.
Yeah, it was awesome. I thank Julia, which is sitting here with us, and a lot of the other girls at our academy. We have an awesome, awesome women's group. And so, of course, I was going, and I had been going I would say at least a good 2 years, if not more, before them. Just me. The kids were too young. And then we started getting our son into it, and he loved it. But then Cassie would have to go up there and wait with him and watch, you know, while he went through class. And so over time, well, the girls, our daughters would see Gabe doing it. And of course, naturally, we'd want
they
to see
wanted
to
do it,
which was great.
Yeah.
And then slowly over time, the girls in the academy worked on Cassie.
Nice.
And now that she's on the mat, she loves it.
Exactly.
I mean, jiu-jitsu, going back to jiu-jitsu, I would have never guessed in a million years that I would have done and gotten into jiu-jitsu like I have four years ago.
Yeah.
But if you can find a good group of people to do jiu-jitsu with, it is an amazing thing to do. It's an amazing outlet. And so you don't have to be an MMA fighter like you guys are animals. I just am honored that I can even be on the mats with you guys and kind of hang to some degree, you know.
People.
But you don't have to be You don't have to be the world champ. You don't have to be, you know, the MMA fighter to go and find jiu-jitsu
and reap huge benefit from it and get better
absolutely,
every time.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. Jiu-jitsu is really for everyone. So if you don't train, find an academy. Be careful of where you go because, like I said, there's a lot of fakeness out there, just like with any profession. So, you know, put those feelers out. If there's like a cultish vibe wherever you're at, get out of there.
Yes, run.
If you're supposed to look up to the professor as a deity, then definitely bounce. If your professor never learns your name, get out of there. You know, certain things that I think are fairly obvious to look out for. But if you find good camaraderie there, if people are welcoming and kind to you, and they want to see you get better, you've probably found a good place to train. So
no doubt.
If you don't train jiu-jitsu, give it a shot. I think it's a good way for anyone to get better. So, yeah, I think that's a really good message for everybody. Are there any new ideas, beliefs, or practices that have changed your life? Maybe not super new, like could be in the past few years, past couple months, anything like that?
I would say, yeah. One thing, so going back to some chiropractic stuff and my chiropractic journey, I've got exposed to knuckleheads. We think we touched on that. and so there was one thing, because there was definitely some points where I was getting pretty discouraged and what path I wanted to take in chiropractic. And once you've gotten so far down the path, you're like, what the heck? And you there's kind of, you're at points of no return. You're like, what is, you know, when you're a student, you don't know exactly what's applicable in the real world, what sometimes really fully works, what doesn't. But one guy, there was a guy, not a, just a guy, he's a physician, he's a chiropractor, but has a lot of other credentials. He is a exercise physiologist before he ever even became a chiropractor. This guy's and is just a super brilliant guy. And he influenced me a lot. He really helped me, I feel like, really get what chiropractic was about. And his name's Dr. James Chestnut. He's I think lives up in the British Columbia area, Victoria, parts of somewhere over there in Canada. And but he had created a whole program and system, that helped me a lot. One of his big mottos, and kind of some I'll touch on some of his teachings. One of his big mottos is eat well, think well, move well. And he has a and I took the certification course. I took a certification course to become a certified chiropractic wellness practitioner as the actual certification, and it's through the International Chiropractic Association. It's Dr. Chestnut is credentialed through there, and it's a legit course, but it's great teachings. But the whole premise of it, it's, you know, the motto is the eat well, think well, move well. But he goes deep into, of course, nutrition, what we're eating. He goes deep into, movement, exercise, also the movement and the neurology behind the chiropractic adjustment, which was huge, what I wanted, because there was a lot of science behind that, which I loved. And then the think well, I mean, that's, between the ears, what you're feeding your brain, what you're putting in your brain, whether if it's good or bad, and how that's affecting your health. And it's all how three of these aspects, affect our health. And whether if we're doing positive or negative things in those each of those three categories is whether what drives you away from health or towards health. And so I went very general with that, but I would say that man right there helped me in a lot of ways. And just eat well, think well, move well is just a very simple, general phrase people can say just to try to help keep them in check with some of their nutritional and movement and their mindset stuff.
I really like that. And yeah. I'm going to write that down, actually. What was the name of the doctor?
Yeah, Dr. James Chestnut. I've got some audio and some like videos that I can share with you and let you borrow. So he's a really good guy. Chiropractic, there's definitely a very natural aspect of chiropractic, but there's vitalism and holism and all these different things, these different aspects of being a quote-unquote like natural practitioner, not your mainstream type position. So but it's good. He's got I've got his books. Can let you take a look at him.
Oh, I'd love to. We can find books written by Dr. James.
He's got
on
a
YouTube
whole,
or anything like that.
I'm sure he's all over YouTube. He's got his website, and I actually, he has a, that's this, the supplements that we take, I don't even sell these in the office. I never wanted to be like a weird pushy supplement chiropractor. There are some out there, and there's benefits to it, but people can get weird about you trying to be pushy with selling vitamins and stuff like that. So I don't even sell any of his product in the office, but we do take his product personally, because it's just a, he's very anal and diligent about just high quality products. But yeah, man, I'll expose you to his company and some of his teachings and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
He's really good. He's a good presenter. He's yeah. So
he puts on some listeners, good talks. Look up Dr. James Chestnut. Eat well, think well, move well.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for people maybe in a similar position as you, running their own business or maybe looking to start their own business?
Yeah. I would say research, research. Don't take anything lightly what you're doing with your whatever endeavor that you're getting into. Get a mentor. Find somebody in that industry or whatever it is that you're getting into and do a little research. Make sure that they're going to have your best interest at heart, but try to get a mentor. That's huge. They can try to help maybe avoid some pitfalls at early parts of businesses, early growth of businesses, because that's what if I can remember correctly, I want to say, I don't know what the true stats are, but a lot of small businesses fell, high percent will fail within the first year or two. So if you can get past, I think, I can't remember what year it is.
I've heard that statistic. It's like 60 or 70% of businesses that are failing within the first, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so if you can really...
Crazy amount of failed businesses.
There. Right. Well, I feel like if you can, make sure, you're all in to some degree. You research everything as much as possible. You prep, you plan, you prepare for it. You just don't blindly jump into something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, really do your research. Really make that commitment if you're going to do it, and then go all in, and then try to position yourself with getting some mentors, and then just hang in there. There's going to be some bumps in the road, and just get through those first couple of years, and then. If you can do that, then the success rate's fairly high. So,
why do you think that is? That the first, after you get past those first few years, that you're able to be more successful? Is it because you build up a clientele base? Is it because people start to recognize your business? What do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And you may not know.
Maybe varies for professions.
Sure.
Like for me, it's like getting my name out there. So being able to, get exposure and all those things and having not only just your name out there, but having, a good name out there for yourself and that's huge. And so in itself, that's something that's helped me from chiropractic. Now, I don't know if that completely applies for every industry, but to some degree I would say yeah, but so that's probably something to do with it, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of risk because you're putting in a lot of money at first and you're not getting a lot back. I think that's a lot of it. So I think that's why businesses will fail financially. And then, who knows in each of these situations with people, but...
Different
for every business, kind of, but what I was thinking is some people might not be mentally tough enough, and I'm not trying to be mean, but hey, you're in that first year, you're in that second year, you're in the grind, and maybe they just throw the towel in too early.
Yeah, maybe not used to wearing the mini hats that you talked about before and filling all those different roles.
It's a juggling act.
So, sure. And that's really something I'm just kind of curious for myself as I think about starting my own business. So... Yeah, that's really good insight. Thank you very much. I think we're getting close to the end, kind of looking to wrap some of this stuff up. I would like to ask about a few of your goals for the future, whether it be jiu-jitsu related, business-wise, for the family, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, great question. Long-term goals for me, I would say... Really, I know this. Well, I'm still at the point. I'm 5 years into business. I'm on my fifth year, but still paying some debt off. So, really, ultimately, just getting debt free.
Sure.
Getting my kids to college is something that's a big, big goal for me, mindset wise. And I retract that back a little bit. I mean, they don't have to go to college, but getting my kids settled in the world in a positive direction. That's a huge goal for me. It's you're a young man and maybe one of these days you'll understand it if you have kids, but once you have quit, it's going to make it, hold off as long as you can. But it's something interesting and, odd that changes in a person. It immediately goes from, it's not about you anymore. And it's about these little people. And so getting them going, that's a huge goal. you know, with my career, I just really want to just take care of people in chiropractic. I've really met a lot of my big goals from that standpoint. I own my own business now, so I've met a lot of those goals. I think maybe something that'd be cool, like the next business step for me would be like owning my own building for my business. That would be really cool. This might be a goal that is of mine. And then from a jiu-jitsu standpoint, I mean, I really am in this for the long haul with jiu-jitsu. I plan on doing this as long as I possibly can with, you know, my training partners. I feel like I'll be able to do this for most of the rest of my life. And so I plan on getting a black belt. I don't know at what point. Mm-hmm. I don't even really care.
Yeah.
Whenever I get it, it's not that I'm like, oh, I've got to get this black belt and I got to do it now.
No,
like,
you're enjoying
I'm
the
just
journey.
On the journey, man. Yeah. And I'm just trying to just enjoy it.
Absolutely. So. I love that. That's really good. Lots of really good goals, short and long term. So I think that's an important thing in life, you know, have goals. Whether they're for next week, next month, next year, several years down the road, doesn't really matter. But have things that you're working towards. I found in my own journey that that's a huge thing for me. I can get very depressed and unmotivated if I don't have something that I'm working towards. So I think that's something that I just like to always ask, because I get to talk to so many cool people that are on such good paths, like Jeff. And hopefully that'll bring some value to you listeners out there. If you had the opportunity to make a big billboard where millions of people would see one message, just a couple of words, do you have just maybe a generalized message that you would like to get out there to the masses?
Is it for me as a like a chiropractic
anything.
Type thing,
as
or
a person,
just generally
as a human.
To the humanity? That's a good question.
Sometimes
let me think
I
about
stump people with
heavy, because like if you had a few words to just get out there to the
See,
world.
I really liked your eat well, think well, move well. So I didn't know if you would go with that or if there's anything else that you would like to get out there. If not, no worries.
I don't know.
I'm gonna interview
I'll be,
Jeff
I'll
you'll be on the podcast many times.
Awesome.
So I'll let you think about that one, no worries. Jeff is such a great guy. He really does, like he said, cares about his patients. So if you guys have a need for a chiropractor, if you're very active like me, or even if you're not and you just have like aches and pains, like he can help you in lots of different ways. Like he had said before, probably the bread and butter, as you said, was like neck and back pain.
And headaches,
but, and headaches. But there's also lots of different ways that it helps, like with digestion, and with immune system and all of that good stuff, breathing.
Respiration.
So, hit Jeff up, go to Back to Wellness. Great people there, really take care of their patients and really care about what they're doing. So, I'll leave it with that. You guys, thank you so much for listening. The podcast doesn't happen unless there's people listening to it, right? If the tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, does it even fall? Does it make a noise? Isn't that the question? Who knows? Nobody knows, right?
Right.
So thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Jeff, for being on the show.
Thank
Such
you for
a pleasure
me.
To have you. Yeah.
It's an honor, brother.
Really, really interesting talk that I think brought a lot of value to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
love
you guys. Good night and good luck.
Sponsor Spotlight.
Oklahoma Martial Arts Academy can be your home for self-defense tactics, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mixed martial arts, boxing, Muay Thai, and much more. With classes throughout the day and week, we offer self-discipline with an accommodating schedule. For ages 3 and up, partake in classes, be a part of the team with Black Belt Professor Seth Norman and Brown Belt Janie Meadows, all in all, great people. Make the change today. We're located inside of Key Health Fitness at 14701 North Kelly Avenue in Edmond, Oklahoma. Or you can call us at 405-816-7242. See you on the mats. Oss.
Thank you to my new sponsor, Hemp Connects. Really great people making organic CBD products. They've got like the chill pill that has a certain amount of CBD in a pill form. And then they've got the tincture oil that I use every day. you just drop a little bit under your tongue and it's the bomb. Like for muscle soreness, for inflammation, all of that stuff, there's just nothing better and there's no side effects. I highly recommend the CBD oil. I'm not a doctor or anything, so or take that for what it's worth, but I do train a lot and I have a lot of muscle soreness and aches and pains, and I have a lot less of them whenever I'm using CBD oil.
All right, everybody, here we go. One, two, three. My name is Dr. Jeff Ajazi. I'm a practicing chiropractor in Edmond, Oklahoma. I've been practicing for a little over 8 years. My practice is at 3560 South Boulevard, Suite 100. Come check us out. We're here to take care of you.
We just wanted to plug Green Strength real quick. The founder of Green Strength, Lucius Christopher Tyree, did I say that right?
The fourth.
Any nutritional or strength and conditioning needs, he is the physical culturist around here. So be sure to hit him up, pick his brain, follow him on all of his social media stuff. He shares dope shit all the time.
You guys can find me on Instagram. It's GreenStrengthIV, as in GreenStrength4. And then my website is GreenStrengthHQ.com. And you can find me there. You can reach out if you ever have any questions or anything. And holler at me.
So, yeah, that's a wrap.